1 Samuel chapter 17. Try to gear this to our coming up year. You know, a lot of times, I said this the other day, I'm glad that God don't let us see the future. Because if God would let you see what's going to happen to you this year, it'd scare you to death. We wouldn't get no sleep at night. We'd worry ourselves sick. But you know what? God's got enough grace to get us through it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look at verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah and Esdemonim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his leg and targets of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set the battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Benjamin, Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went out among them for an old man as in the days of Saul. Let's pray right there. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for another day, for another opportunity, God, Lord, to come together. And Lord, hear the song, sing in the choir, God. Hear your word preached, dear Lord, and help us right now, God, to take this message and apply it in our hearts throughout the rest of this year. And whatever's done, God, help us to lift up Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to title this, and I think I did a devotion on this years ago, and I'm going to use this same title, Who Will Go in the Valley? Now, like I said, when King David left home that morning, we go back and study. We know that David's father had sent him to where his older brothers were in the Israelite army. They had been there for days upon days upon days. And Jesse gives David some cheese and bread and tells him to take this to your brothers which are fighting in the army. David gets, when David left home that morning, he didn't know he was going in a valley. When I read to you, the Bible says that the Philistines were on one side and the Israelites were on another side, and there was a valley in the middle. When David left home that morning, he didn't know he was going to go in a valley. When he left home that morning, he didn't know he was getting ready to fight a battle. When he left home that morning, he didn't know there was going to be a giant still there. If you go back and study this, I believe that David was there when they first came, and David had to go back home. I believe, Wes, with all my heart, David was fully expecting when he got back for that giant to be killed. Because you got the whole army of God right there. Why didn't they do something? Because they were afraid. Now what? All these men, David's older brothers was there, King Saul was there, all these men were there, and they were looking out, and that giant was defying them, that giant was mocking their God, and nobody wanted to go in the valley. Let's just be honest. None of us like hard times. If we know when we get up in the morning and we know we're going to have to face a valley, most of us are staying home. Amen? That's just human nature. But this year, we're going to face valleys. This year we're going to face hard times. You know, somebody was said, thank God 2025 is over. That was the hardest year I've had in a long time. Hey, this year might be harder. You just don't ever know. But I know one thing, I know we got a God that said, I'll be with you no matter where. Whether you're on the mountaintop, I'm going to be with you. Whether you're in the valley, I'm going to be with you. It don't matter where you go. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It don't matter how high the mountain and it don't matter how low the valley. Jesus is going to be there. So let's just look at just a few points tonight, and I'm going to probably be brief. Say amen, Chucky. Let's look at this now. Number one, the enemy was waiting in the valley. We don't want to go in the valley. The enemy's in the valley. Goliath comes out every day and mocks them. Goliath walks down in the valley. He's looking up at the children of Israel, the army of Israel, the mighty army of Israel, and King Saul that stands head and shoulders above everybody else, and he's defying them. And nobody wants to go down because the man is almost 10 foot tall. His coat of armor weighs almost 500 pounds. This is a big man. Hey, we fight a real enemy. The Bible tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's an enemy out there, and we don't want to fight the enemy in the valley. If you go back and look at some of David's mighty men, there's one of David's mighty men faced a lion in a pit on a snowy day. In other words, he was fighting, Mike, in a pit, down low, in a valley, and there was snow on the ground. In other words, it was slippery on the ground, and he was fighting a lion. Guess what? You and I might have to fight the lion, but glory to God, you got somebody that's going to be there with you. He said, you won't go in the valley by yourself. And understand something. You got to realize something. Hey, yes, the enemy's down there. Yes, it might be hard times. Yes, I might have to fight the enemy, but are you willing to go in the valley? For your family. Are you willing to go in the valley for the king? See, that's the thing. Sometimes we do. Are you willing? Who's going to go in the valley? Number two, there'll probably be some loneliness in the valley. Take your Bible and look at verse 28. Now, this is David gets there. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spoken to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. In other words, David comes in. David said, hey, I'll go fight the giant. I'll go down in the valley. And his older brother said, hey, we know you. We know you. You just a little old prideful young boy. You ain't nothing. You just need to set up here. And everybody, he turned to somebody else. He said, I'll go fight. And everybody else is putting him down. There might be some lonely. You might be the only one in the valley. Sometimes you will be the only one in the valley. Sometimes you will be the only one standing for what's right. Sometimes you will be the only one that'll say, I'll stand up for the king. But guess what? If I got to stand by myself, I'm standing for what's right. Amen. Understand that. That ought to be your motto this year. If I've got to stand by myself, I'm going to stand for what's right. If I've got to stand by myself, it don't matter if my family stands with me. It don't matter if nobody else in the church stands with me. I'm going to stand for what's right. Yeah, it'll be lonely. But guess what? It'll be worth it. Another thing about the valley, there might be a fight. You see, when we read this story, Brother David, and you've taught it probably as much as I preached it. God could have come down and wiped that giant out. The Bible tells us of another battle that David fought when David was king. And the Bible says that David stopped his men. And the Bible said a sound come through the mulberry trees. In other words, a sound of a rushing wind come through the mulberry trees. And that was God going before, amen. And you got to understand, God could have come down and wiped that giant out. But God's not going to do something that you and I can do. And you got to understand something. When David went down in there, yes, there was going to be a fight. The Bible says, and I'll just kind of illustrate what the Bible says, that David goes down in and Saul says, hey, y'all ain't got nobody to fight me. Why are you sending out this little child? Why are you sending a little child to fight a man? Goliath is like, I'm a grown man. I'm a seasoned warrior. No doubt he had scars on his face, and maybe his armor had some scars on. I'm a seasoned warrior. Am I a dog that you're going to send somebody out to fight with me with sticks? He just didn't know he was getting ready to die. Let me ask you a question. I asked you the same question as David asked. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is your family not worth fighting for? Is your church not worth fighting for? Is your relationship with the Lord not worth fighting for? Juwan challenged us all to read our Bibles every day. I hope you're already doing that. You ought to make up your mind. You ought to challenge yourself this year. I preached the other night about going above and beyond, being a second mile Christian. You ought to challenge yourself this year. Somebody said, well, I'm going to read my Bible through this year. Why don't you do it in 6 months? I'm going to go ahead and throw something at you. If you'll read your Bible for 30 minutes a day, you can read it through twice in a year. 30 minutes a day. Why are we worried about the fight? Yes, it's going to be a fight. But understand something. I got somebody fighting with me. Guess what else? There could be a death in the valley. Somebody died that day. Somebody died that day. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. Now listen, verse 36 and 37. We love Hebrews chapter 11. Woo! I love that faith chapter. The Bible talks about if you got faith, I'm telling you right now, you can do this and you can do that. By faith, Abraham did this. And by faith, Abraham did that. And we by faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by faith, Moses. And by faith. But you know what? There's something else in that chapter we want to overlook sometimes. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and sawn asunder, were tempted and slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Jesus said, there was not a greater man born a woman than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist died before he was 35 years old. There might be a death in the valley. I was watching a little thing on YouTube, and I'm trying my best to remember this guy's name, and I can't do it to save my life. This guy was locked down in a Chinese communist prison. And he said something to this effect. He said, they asked him how he could come through all that. He talked about how he missed his wife and family, and he said, you know, you just got to learn whether I'm sitting home on the couch, basically, and everything's great, God's still good, or whether I'm chained down with 50-pound chains tied to my legs, God's still good. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned to be contented no matter what state I'm in. Yeah, there might be a death. Yes, there was a death in this valley, but guess what? It was the enemy's death. Amen. Well, you say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I can fight. You don't know till you try. Amen. You don't know till you try. There could be humiliation. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. You know what gets me is how many people in church just don't do anything because they're scared. I would teach Sunday school, but I just don't know if I can. I would sing in the choir, but I just don't know if I can. You know what I hear? I hear a lot of people say, I would sing in the choir, but I can't sing. Half of us in the choir can't sing. Scoopy Miller sang in the choir almost up to the time he couldn't get out of the seat, and he knew he couldn't sing. He told everybody that I told him he couldn't sing, and I wasn't lying either. But why don't we put forth the effort? How do you think, just to think about this, how do you think the men and the army of Israel felt when this little 16 or 17-year-old boy goes out there with a rag and a rock and killed this warrior? I wonder what Eliab said. Maybe somebody looked over and said, ain't that your little brother out there killing that giant? I wonder how he felt. See, the thing about it is, Kevin and Robert, if we don't do it, God's got somebody that will. See, the thing about it is, you know, Robert gets up and Robert sings, and Robert does a great job. Robert is one of my favorite singers in the world. I just didn't hear Robert Lloyd. I'm just going to be honest. I'd drive 100 miles to hear Robert sing before I drive 2 miles to hear somebody in the Crabb family. Just being honest. But you know what? There had to be a time when Robert got up the first time and sang in church. I've heard Robert talk about knees knocking, scared to death. But he stood up anyhow. Amen. See, the thing about it is, there's other people in this church that can sing probably about as good as Robert can. But you won't ever get up and sing because you're scared. What's they going to say about me? What if I hit a wrong note? Who cares? I learned a long time ago. I remember one time we were singing, and I was singing. Juwan talked about we were singing with that group at White Savannah. Robin, you're going to know what I'm talking about. I was up, and we sounded, I mean, it was on. The girl playing the piano, everything was perfect. Our voices blended. I'm talking about it. It couldn't sound no better. Everybody sat there looking at you like, I remember a few times we got up there and we couldn't figure it out, didn't sound right, and God blessed anyhow because you put forth the effort. Who cares? I want to be the little guy down in the valley doing my best. I don't want to be the ones embarrassed up on the hill. Amen. There might be humiliation, but you understand this, your ammunition might be in the valley. Hear what I said? Your ammunition might be in the valley. Look at verse 40. Bible says in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put it in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip and his sling in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Hey, God's got you scared to death. You sitting up on the hill. You don't want to go out down there and fight. You scared to get humiliated. You scared to get killed. You scared about what's going to happen. And I can see David. He don't know what's going to happen. David's got his sling. David ain't got no rods. But on the way down in the valley, he sees this brook, and on the way down in the valley where the giants at, he sees these rocks. He stoops down and picks up his own ammunition right there in the valley that God sent him in, and he killed that giant with what he found in the valley. Amen. See, valleys ain't always bad. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If you go to the 23rd Psalm, sheep won't drink from running water. You know where you got to get? You got to get down in the valley where the water slows down. God's trying to do something in our lives. And when you go through the hard times, when you go through the valleys, don't look at it as, well, I'm going through another valley. I'm going through another hard time. Won't you look at it and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn now? Amen. What do you want me to learn now? Victory could be in the valley. The Bible, look at verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. We know the story. The Bible says that he pulled out one rock. He picked up 5. He didn't need but one. Why? Because God had already gone before him. Amen. I believe when David wound that thing up and that rock left his hand, I believe that an angel came down just like on Angels in the Outfield. How many of y'all remember seeing that movie? And grabbed that rock and went straight to where it needed to be. And victory was in the valley. If you knew God was going to give you victory, the battle wouldn't look so bad. If you knew God was going to give you victory, the valley wouldn't look so bad. If you knew God was going to give you victory over every enemy, the valley ain't so bad. See, the valley is where we learn to trust him. The mountaintop is where we worship him and praise him and honor and give him glory. I remember a preacher preaching one time about living above the snake line. If you've never heard that sermon, look it up on YouTube. And he talked about at Pike's Peak, there's a sign that says the snake line. And what it is, when you go above that line, there are no snakes up there because the oxygen is so thin. The thing about it is, you can't live that high. You can visit, but you can't live that high. You got to come back down where the oxygen is what you can breathe. And guess where that's at? A little bit lower than that snake line. Valleys are real. You're going to face some this year. You ain't going to like it. You ain't going to like it. Everybody else might not know you're facing a valley. Everybody else ain't going to know what Brian's going through. Everybody else ain't going to know what Ralph and Alice is going through. But they'll be going through a valley and you'll never know it. We ain't going to like it. But guess what? This time next year, if you still hear glory to God, we'll look back and say, hey, my God brought me through every valley. My God brought me through every mountaintop. My God brought me through 2026, and I'm just looking forward to what my God's going to do in 2027. Amen? Amen. So, yes, there's going to be valleys this year. The question is, how are you going to face them? I want us to, let's come gather around the altar tonight on our first Sunday of our new year, and let's just close out this service in prayer around the altar, praying for each other. Listen, the fact of the matter is we've all heard old preachers say something to this effect our whole lives. We won't never meet like this again. We won't never meet like this again. And I want us to pray for each other. I know, and listen, if you got a need, pray for your need. But let's pray for each other. Pray that God will have his hand on our church collectively and bring us through every valley and every hard time and every difficult time that we're going to face this coming year.